You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So I have an interesting message for you this morning about conflict. There's a lot of conflict in the news these days, but I'm not talking about conflict on a grand scale. I'm talking about conflict on a smaller scale. Conflict among brothers and sisters in Christ. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he describes such a conflict and offers some practical advice for us as the church. As we know, whenever Paul writes a letter to one of the churches, we could very well plug First Methodist Church Splendora into that letter and glean from it some good advice that would be helpful to us. And so listen to what Paul writes to the church at Philippi, fourth chapter, starting at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euda and Sedeche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also, help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, as well as the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, as we read this, it's not exactly clear just who Euda and Sedeche were. But what is clear about this scripture is that there was division, there was conflict between them. And what also is clear is that they were believers who had worked alongside Paul in the spreading of the gospel, and that Paul was personally invested in them and wanted them to work things out for the good of the church. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, division in the church? Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so, Pastor. Division in the church. Who ever heard of such a thing? But if you have been a churchgoer for long enough, you no doubt have seen some division. You no doubt have seen some conflict. Division over big stuff. And division over small stuff that folks just think is big stuff. Division and conflict is just as commonplace inside the church as it is outside the church. If you think your church doesn't have an Euda or a Sedeche, it might be you. You might be one of them. But in all seriousness, if you ever find yourself in conflict with another church member, Paul put this passage here at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and the people who put together the common lectionary at the leading of the Holy Spirit, who assigned this particular passage from Philippians 4 to be read on this day just for you. And so it might be good for us to all pay attention and glean what Paul is trying to tell the church. Paul is urging us, believers and church members who are in conflict with one another, to, if we read verse 2, live in harmony in the Lord. And then in verse 3, he encourages all of us to help those in the church who are struggling with conflict. It happens even in the church. How do we help? You might be thinking. I see a conflict. I've heard of this conflict. In fact, I'm on the periphery of this conflict. And Pastor, it makes me uncomfortable to see conflict in the church. Paul tells us in verse 4 that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And just for emphasis, he says, again, I will say rejoice. See, it's hard for us as humans in this fallen, broken world, in our human condition sometimes, to remember to rejoice even when stuff isn't going our way. Or maybe more specifically, even when we're not getting our way, we're still called to rejoice in the Lord. And we demonstrate that joy by letting people see, as Paul says in verse 5, letting people see our gentle spirit. The gentle side of us, not the abrasive side of us. The abrasive side of us likes to rear its ugly head all too quickly. God says, let your gentle spirit be known to all people. Why? Because the Lord is near. In other words, you don't have a bad attitude in a vacuum. You don't have a bad attitude in private. A bad attitude is public. Don't believe me, look in the mirror when you have a bad attitude. And you are never, ever separated from God, who sees the innermost workings of your heart, your innermost thoughts, your innermost impressions of your brothers and sisters in Christ in any given moment are revealed, laid open to God, who sees all. And so, let your gentle spirit be known to all people. Because the Lord is near. And then in verse 6, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. There's no need for all the animosity and the angst. Don't be anxious about anything, but instead, in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving. I like some verses of the Bible that say, with a thankful spirit or a thankful heart, let your requests be made known to God. You have conflict with somebody? Let them see your gentle side. Rejoice in the Lord, who's watching, who has an interest in what's going on in his church. And then don't be anxious about those things, but turn it over to God in prayer and in pleading with a thankful heart. That God is sovereign and in control. And let God know the desires of your heart. Paul tells us to be glad and let our gentle spirits shine through. And then he says that we're to turn our anxiousness over to God and pray and plead with a thankful spirit, making our requests known to God. And when we do that, Paul says, that God's perfect peace, a peace that works outside of the natural world, a peace that works supernaturally, a peace that casts out the demons of anxiety and fear and unrighteous anger, even when the world tells us that those demonic influences and actions are expected of us in this life under these circumstances. The perfect peace of God casts out those demons. A perfect peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is this saying to us? Pastor, I can't get past this conflict. Oh, but you don't have to. All you have to do is turn it over to the one who can provide the peace. Paul says, put into practice what you have learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes, believers, God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmony. Because God wants his people to live in holy harmony with one another. The fallen, broken world offers enough challenges without church members creating even more conflict among themselves. And usually it's over such small, trivial matters that have no eternal impact. You know, I've heard it said that if you want to disrupt a church meeting, don't go in and say something grandiose about Jesus Christ. No, just tell them that you would prefer the drapes be green rather than red. Meeting over. It's the small stuff that causes the seemingly big conflicts. Because the things that have eternal significance, we typically don't disagree on in the church. And that holds true from this church to the one across the street. We have much more in common with our Baptist neighbors than we have differences. We should have much more in common with those who gather in the same sanctuary, worshiping the same God, in the presence of the same Holy Spirit, saved by the same Lord. Our church family. See, we have to remember, the church is all about God, not about us. Church is about what you can give to God and others, not about what you can take for yourself. See, when we approach church in the right spirit and the right attitude, God supplies all the rest of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. God supplies all that we need. He wants to give us good gifts because he is good. He calls us into his perfect love. We've been studying about this in Bible study. God wants to pour his perfect love into each and every believing heart. And when he does that, we become so full of God's love, there's just no room for anything else, especially things that are not of God. He wants to give us good gifts because he is good. And he calls us into his perfect love. And the question that we must ask ourselves is, are we open to receiving it? Ephesians 4:1-6 reminds us. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think that about wraps it up, Gene. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.